Jesus is always going on. Amen. And you know what? How this is going to be more meaningful to you is if you open your heart to it. If you open your heart to it, that's more meaningful to you. If you engage, we ask people to come and bring their Bible. We want you to bring your Bible. We want you to, you know, if you've got a note page or a notepad or anything and you want to do that, you know, don't be so concentrated on just taking the notes because you might miss what God wants to do. But it's powerfully important that we engage, that we open our heart, and that we listen to the Word of God, and we embrace what God is doing here. And so if you do have a Bible, and go along with us today. And, you know, I am this type of person. I'm a little bit old school, new school mix, okay? If that makes sense to you. I'm just who I am. I get a little loud sometimes when I'm ministering because I get passionate about what I'm doing. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the devil. Anybody in here be mad at the devil? I said, anybody in here mad at the devil? You should be. If you're a believer, you should be mad at him. We ought not be mad at each other. We ought to be mad at the devil. Because people are not who we struggle with. It's the enemy behind that. So today, I get passionate about what I do. I believe in what I do. I believe in what I do. I believe that we are in a very powerful place, a very positional place, a very strategic place in the kingdom of God, that God is doing mighty things in our midst. And isn't it obvious that God's doing mighty things in our kids? Oh, come on. God is doing mighty things in our kids. And we need some work on this powerful podium up here that was made in Angola prison. And I just pray, God, that you will send somebody to say, send me, Lord. I'll take that. I know how to work on that and do a little tweaking on it and make it work a little bit better. Okay, we've carried it about back and forth to prison ministry and different places. And so there's three of these in the world. Heath has shared that before. There's three of them in the world. One of them is an Angola museum, and the other one Brother Manny Mill has, and another one we have. So we're blessed. Powerful thing. If you have your Bible, have the Word of God. We're proving that you have the Word of God. Realize what a powerful book this is right here, we hope. These are the words of life. These are the words of life. So if you have your Bible, turn with us to 2 Kings. 2 Kings. Now what I shared you this today is not anything new. This is not new stuff here today. But I know God's going to give us a new perspective or new thought or word into it from it today. So Jesus is passing by. Somebody say, Jesus is passing by. How many realizes that Jesus is passing by? That Jesus is passing by. He's been here in our midst today. He's here in our midst today. The Lord is here. Turn to somebody and say, the Lord is here. You say, well, I can't feel him. I can't feel him. Well, you know what? Feelings are good. But feelings are not always obvious. The Lord's presence is very obvious when he breaks out or he moves in our midst and he moves in all kinds of different ways. But it doesn't change the reality of the fact that Jesus is passing by. And I heard a song in a tent meeting when I was probably the age of Peyton right there. And a powerful tent meeting in Kenosha, Illinois, near the Wisconsin line, and we'd go up there in the summer, and they had this big tent meeting, and this evangelist would come in from somewhere, and they hold this revival and powerful preaching, man, about hell and heaven and about all these things. And it's one of those things that a young kid that drew a kid to the altar all the time. I feel like I need to go to the altar all the time. Anybody ever felt that way before? When you're here today and you feel something tugging at your heart, that is not just the music. That is not just the words that's been spoken, the testimonies. That's not just a man. We don't have the ability to do that. But it's the power of the Holy Spirit knocking at your door. Revelation 3, He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open that door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." The word sup means fellowship. The Lord is passing by. And he's looking for an entryway into people's lives, into people's homes, so he can come in and have fellowship and relationship with you. God doesn't want a weekend visitation. God doesn't want a weekend visitation. He wants full custody of your heart. Do you understand that? The Lord wants full custody of your heart. He don't want to visit you. You know, we pray, Lord, for powerful visitations of the Holy Spirit. We got to get beyond that prayer. We don't want a visitation from the Spirit. We want a habitation of the Holy Ghost. We want a habitation of the Lord Almighty. We want the Lord to come down and dwell among us in our midst. We want the Lord to show up, to settle down, to marry, and to walk among us and live among us and walk among us. That's why you're seeing the powerful things that you're seeing. Because the Lord is here and he's in the midst of it. And we got to open our hearts to what the Lord is doing. Just like opening your house, your home to the Lord or to any visitor that would come by. You know, I visited people before down through the years. And actually, I've gone to their houses and I've knocked on the door. And people not come to the door. And think about that. People not come to the door. And you say, well, they can't come to the door if they're not there. But I knew that they were there. How many's ever tried to get somebody's attention before? You knew they were there, but they weren't there. So you know how a minister preaches sometimes, don't you? You missed that one. How God tries to get your attention through the Word, and people just sort of ignore the call or the knock. But God is knocking at people's doors. I would go up to a house and visit, go and visit them. I heard the TV, cars in the driveway, dogs barking. Man, dogs went crazy inside. And listen, nobody come to the door. Listen, nobody come to the door. How many knows you got to come to the door before you can answer it? You got to open the door before somebody can come in. We got to open the door before Jesus can come in. Before we give him access, we got to open the door of our hearts. And we got to open the door of the ministry and the work of the church. And by the way, Revelation chapter 3, that verse was written. It was written to a church. Imagine that. A church that Jesus couldn't come in. A church that Jesus couldn't get access to. So we got to open our hearts and open our lives to what the Lord is doing. 2 Kings chapter 4. If you have your Bible. And if you want to stand, if you're not able to stand, please, you know, she can't stand. And there's others here that can't stand. And this is not a religious thing, okay? If you can stand, that's powerfully important. In verse 8, I want to talk about just a few minutes today. There is a miracle waiting to happen here in people's lives today. We understand sometimes people think, well, miracles are hard to come by. Miracles are not hard to come by. God does miracles every day. Look around this room. Every one of you are the evidence of a miracle. Did you hear this powerful testimony from this little lady right here, this young girl, Joyce, right here, that God reached down and saved their marriage? God does powerful things like that every day. God is about doing the miraculous. So let's don't think that God's far off somewhere, that God is not about a miracle in our life. But we have to prepare our hearts for what God wants to do in our life. How many knows you got to prepare your heart? So 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8. Now it came that it happened that one day that Elisha went to Shunam, where there was a notable woman. And the word notable means great there. She was a woman of notoriety. She was a great woman. And she persuaded him to eat some fruit. To eat some food. So she persuaded him. The word persuaded in the original text there means that she heavily convinced him. She just didn't ask him to. She did everything in her might to make sure that he would come into her house and eat food at her table. Guess what today, friend? You're dining with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do you realize that? You're dining with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're dining with royalty. Listen, if the governor of Virginia called us up and said, I want to have dinner with you tomorrow, lunch with you, Sister Cleta, tomorrow, I bet Sister Cleta, you know, leg and all, she'd say, oh, Mr. Governor, I'd do everything I can to make your visit very, very special. So today, we got to understand that we do everything in our power to make the Lord's presence here to feel very special. So the Bible said she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was as often as he passed by that he would turn in there and eat some food. And she said to her husband, look now, I know that this is a holy man. She perceived that this man was a holy man. I perceive today that God is in our midst and he wants to do something miraculous in the lives of people. Amen? You can't be about that until you perceive that God wants to do something. I perceive it. I see it. I recognize it. That's what the word perceive means. I perceive that he is passing by and we want to have him here in our place. So she said to her husband, this man of God comes by every day, and I know he's a holy man. In verse 10, please don't let us make a small upper room on the wall. I like that. That meant on the very top of their house, and the roof was flat at that time in that part of the world. So she got her husband involved in it. It wasn't just her idea. She asked her permission from her husband, which meant that she wasn't usurping authority over her husband, which was very important at that time, in biblical times, at that age, and the customs of that time. So she asked permission from her husband. Listen, there's a lot of people about the move of God, but how many know that if it's a real move of God, that God is all about the authority a part of it? Amen? There are people chasing their own moves of God, but God is about a move. But how many knows it's about doing it God's way? Everybody say, I got to do it God's way. Not your way. How many knows that every one of us was raised on Burger King? Listen, you can't have it your way always. It's God's way or no way. How many knows that? Amen. All right. Please, let's make a small upper room on the wall. And let's put a bed. Let's put a bed for him there. Let's put a table. Let's put a chair. Let's put a lampstand, and it will be that whenever he comes by, whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. And it happened that one day he came there, and he turned into the upper room, and there he lay down. Amen. You may sit down. Thank the Lord for the reading of his word. Hallelujah. So today, I want to share with you just a brief, not long, not lengthy, but I want to share with you this morning some powerful truths in the Word of God that we got to understand here, that the Lord is passing by, and that we're perceiving that God wants to do something in our midst. Isn't it amazing that sometimes it takes the young to lead the old? That's scripture, by the way. Do you know that? Sometimes the old people can't get their act together. They can't get their mind. They can't get their activities together. And sometimes God has to reach down into the lives of young children and just give them a wake up and let them rise up and let God do something in their life before the parents can see that God must be in our family trying to do something. Amen. How many knows that God's about children? If you're been a part of a ministry or church that's not about children, and there are no children there, listen, it's not going to last very long. Because children are not just the future of the church, they are the church. God, they're a part of the church. They're a part of what God's doing today in the earth. Upon your sons and daughters will I pour out my spirit in the last day, Joel said, and the Lord spoke to him. So God, and sometimes we can't perceive what God is doing, but in the midst, we know that God is doing something. God's doing something in our kid. It's a strange thing to see some of these kids having God time, laying out on their deck, when they could be playing, watching SpongeBob, or they could be playing Mario. Well, that's probably an ancient game. Or they could be doing other kinds of things, other kinds of stuff that kids do. It's not natural. It's not common, Kathy, for kids to want to hang out and be with God, even though there is a part of their lives that know there is a God. But it's really an odd or peculiar thing to know that God is doing things in our kids, and our kids are wanting to hang out with God. Our kids are opening their heart so God can come in and inhabit the dwelling place of their hearts. God wants to inhabit the dwelling place of your heart. In order to do that, you've got to open the door and you've got to let Him in. It's not just enough to let Him in. We're all about sometimes giving people visitors. We don't do that here at this church. One time you come here, you're our family, whether you like us or not. Okay? You leave, you may never come back, but you're still our family, okay? You're stuck with us, amen? You're stuck with us. You're stuck with us. But so often, many times, years ago, did you ever go to a church, they give you a visitor pass? Man, you felt like a visitor, didn't you? Everybody turned around, whoa, who is that? They didn't turn around and give you a big smile. They didn't give you a high five. And they didn't walk up in the love of Jesus and let you know that you were welcome. And I'm not saying they were being rude or being mean. People do things a different way. But, you know, I remember old school where people just handed a visitor pass to people. And as they come in, and you really felt like a visitor. I wonder sometimes if the Holy Spirit doesn't feel like a visitor. And we invite Him to come and visit among us. God doesn't want to visit with us. He wants to inhabit us. He wants to dwell in our midst. He wants to rock your world. He wants to turn your world upside down. He wants to do exceedingly abundantly in your life, above more than you think or can imagine. So today, let's don't handle the Lord. Let's don't hand the Lord a visitation pass. Let's don't hand the Lord a visitor's pass. But let's open our hearts to what the Lord is doing. Our children open their hearts to what the Lord is doing. Have we got too cool, too smart? Have we got too advanced? One time I challenged a guy. He just got a hold of the Lord and he got saved. He gave his life to Christ. And then after a little while, I know that things begin to faint in him. And things begin to dwindle in him. And I asked him years later, I said, you know, what's going on with you? What's the matter? I said, are you still praising the Lord? He said, I don't do that stuff anymore. He says, I'm way beyond that. I'm graduated above that kind of stuff. Man, do you graduate above the need to lift your hands and praise the Lord? Do you think you're too cool, Lord, to open your heart and be about what God wants to do in your life? You never graduate. In fact, you get stronger. You get closer. And you get more and more about Jesus. Because if you're more and more about Him, guess what? You want to praise Him more and more and more. You want to praise Him more and more. You want to praise Him more and more. But listen, you're not looking around and finding a reason not to praise Him. Oh, when you walk into the habitation, the earthly dwelling place where the Lord gathers together with His people, you're looking for the privilege. You're looking for the opportunity. Lord, how can I get in Your presence? How can I praise You? How can I know that You're here and that You're real? Lord, I'm excited about the opportunity to be here. I don't have to get somebody to pump me up. Nobody has to pump me up when I come into the presence of the Lord. I know what I'm supposed to do. I come into the house of the Lord with thanksgiving and with praise. Amen. Nobody has to give me a chicken dinner. Nobody has to give me a tank of gas. Nobody has to give me a token. I just know that I'm privileged to praise the name above every name. Because there's nobody like the Lord. This woman, who was a Shunammite, knew there was something special about this prophet. He wasn't an any ordinary prophet. He wasn't an ordinary prophet. There was something powerful about him. How many knows that Elisha was the predecessor of Elijah? or no, he followed Elijah. He was a student of Elijah. And the Bible said that, you know, God had moved in Elijah. You know how the Lord moved in Elijah's life and what God did in Elijah's life. But Elisha got the double portion. How many knows that? Elisha got the double portion. So he had a powerful anointing on him. And this was a little bit strange for him to be in this part or this neck of the woods. This might be a little bit strange for you this morning to be in this neck of the woods. Maybe you would have never thought yourself to be in this kind of surrounding with what you perceive as being a little different. Okay, but how many knows different is good sometimes? Different is good sometimes. Sometimes God's got to do something different in you to turn your world around. Sometimes you got to do something different and unique in your life to get your attention to know that I want to do something awesome in your life. So she perceived he was a great man of God. She perceived that he was a great man of God. And she said, she made him welcome. She showed hospitality. She fed him. She gave him drink. She gave him food. And she made him feel welcome. And you know what? We got to do the same thing with the Lord. Well, how can I do that? How can I do that to the Lord? Matthew chapter 25 says, as often as you've done this into the least of these, you've done it unto me. When I was naked, you clothed me. Guess what? When you clothe people, guess what? You're opening the door to the Holy Spirit, the habitation of God. Because that's what Jesus was about. When you open your hearts to the prisoners. And when I was in jail, when I was in prison, Jesus said, you visited me. How many knows that when you do that, you're opening your heart to the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of God. I'm just reminded by the Lord. A few years ago here, maybe the first year I started pastoring here, that a gentleman, he doesn't go here, but he walked up to me that day in this service and he said, he gave me a prophetic word. How many knows what a prophetic word is? That's a word that God uses through the mouth of people to give you a word of encouragement or exhortation. And he grabbed me and he gave me a hug and he said, this is what the Lord is saying. He said, I've asked other people in this area to do what you are doing here. And he says, I'm going to bless you exceedingly and abundantly because you opened your heart and you're about the thing that I've asked other people to do and they wouldn't do. So we got to understand and realize that this is a privileged opportunity we have only through the working of the Holy Spirit, only through Jesus. And we can't take this lightly. All the growth, all the people that God has called us to reach, we can't take that for granted. God asked other people before us. And we got to realize that if He asks us and we're about it, that's where the blessing is. Amen. The blessing is not in some religious activity. The blessing is in the obedience of what God's told us to do. Does that make sense? So here the woman of God perceived that he was a great man of God. Now the man of God is going to represent the Lord here. He represents the move of God. Everybody wants God to move, right? Maybe you do, I don't know. How many here really want God to move? Listen, how many knows that time is running out? We don't have decades and decades to get this thing together. How many knows that we got to be about the Father's business? Listen, we can't compete. We can't, you know, do all this stuff like they do in the secular world. We got to be about the Lord's business. We got to understand that this privilege that we have is so awesome and so important that we can't take it for granted. And we got to realize that God has called us to it. So the move of God, we want God to move in our life. But are we willing to do what it takes for God to move in our life? Oh, are we willing to do what it takes for God to move in our life? We're always saying, God, I want you to move, I want you to move, I want you to move. But are we willing to do what it takes for God to move? Sometimes God's got to move stuff out of your life so He can move in your life. And some of you wonder why you're going through a wilderness, why you're going through a dry land, why you're going through all this stuff. It's because sometimes we don't open our heart for the move of God. God wants to move, but are you willing to move? Oh, Jesus, it's getting quiet. So today, and see, I'm excited. I get it. I'm excited. I'm not angry. Some of you may have not been around preaching like this. Listen, I have to move. If you tied me up here behind this thing, I'd blow up, okay? I'd be like one of them little gremlins that got in the microwave, you know? Some of you have never watched Gremlins before, I can tell. You see them cats putting them little furry guys in that microwave, turn it on, boom, they blow all to pieces. Listen, if you tied me behind this pulpit and told me to be quiet, I'd explode. There's an anointing, there's a power, there's a presence. And I'm not saying it's all yelling, it's all jumping around, but I'm saying I can't contain myself. I'm like Jeremiah, Sister Betty, it's shut up in my bones. I've got to do something. I got to do something. I want God to move. I want God to move. Why? Because your children are lost. They need Jesus. That ought to be a hallmark right there to tell you, well, Lord, I want you to move in my life. I need the Lord to move in my life. So the man of God, Elisha, was the move of God. And the little Shunammite woman, this is where she was in life. She had an old husband that he was nearly death. And she was barren. That means her womb had not opened up. She could not have children. So if her husband died, she was a barren woman. She was sort of cursed. She was cursed. And she, the life of a barren widow woman was a hard struggle back in that day. Oh, but you know what? This man of God came by every day. He came by every day. She noticed that there was something different. How many knows that there's something different about Jesus? Never a man ever spake like this man. Oh, never a man. Even the doctors and lawyers were amazed by his teaching. They couldn't do anything with him. They couldn't do anything against him. The Bible said that there was power and authority in his voice and in his actions. There was something different. And so, Elisha, there was something different in the woman of God. We realize there's something different. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, there's something different. There's something different about this. There's something different about this. I said there's something different about this. Listen, I'm not looking for a one-night stand. I'm not looking for a little visitation that'll go out like a Roman candle up in the sky. I'm looking for an habitation of God where He dwells in our midst, where your sons and daughters are filled with God, taught by God, used by God, where God is saving the lost. So, she did what she could do. She said, man, there's such a move of God. I want to stay here. How many like to know what? Like God to stay where He is, doing what He's doing. There was a move of God happening in Brownsville in 1995. That was probably too old for some of you to remember that. But a mighty move of the Holy Spirit under a pastor there by the name of Kilpatrick, Tiffany, and some of the others here that have been in other churches and ministries, been there before. There was millions of people touched and reached by that revival. That great move of God. There was a move of God. Unprecedented. It was like Azusa Street. Like the Toronto movement. Like other great movements of God. And here they were. They just blew up. God just blew up in their midst. And they ended up this being a few years happening. The church got worn out. The church became dilapidated. Paper began to fall off the walls and bathrooms began to fall apart. Carpet began to get stained and soiled. They had to replace all that stuff. Listen, The doors were off their hinges. Things happened. But know what? There was a move of God. There are more people coming to that place than in history of any great modern revival movement. There was a powerful thing to happen. But you know what? Some of the religious folk got aggravated because it wore them out. It wore them out. They got a little disturbed because it was inconvenient. You're talking about after 2 or 3 years, it got inconvenient. Having services every night. Then it got to the point they'd have a day or two break so ministry teams could rest. But yet, God was moving in their midst. There were bars being emptied. There were houses of ill repute. Prostitutes were getting saved. Bars were closing down. This in the red light district was closing down. Kids were getting saved in public schools all around. Kids would just break out in the day, and the power of the Holy Spirit right there in the English class, people would be getting saved. Kids would be laying hands on each other. God was moving. Everybody shout, God is moving. God's moving. God's a God of movement. Amen. God's a God of movement. Amen. He's a God that He's moving. Dakota, He's moving. He's moving. We got to move with Him. How many knows you got to move with Him? So some of them got tired and they said, Kilpatrick, Pastor Kilpatrick, when is church going to go back to normal? Oh, no, never give us normal, Lord. Oh, don't ever get satisfied with normal. Don't ever get satisfied with just coming in and sitting down and singing a song or two, having a few minutes sermon and patting you on the back and saying, it'll be all right. Oh, sin's got you broken down, but it'll be all right. You know, you don't have to worry about a thing. How many knows that there are things in life that you need to be concerned about? First of all, if you're here and you're lost and you need Jesus, you've got to be concerned that God is seeking to save that which is lost. And this is your day. The God was moving. But some of them got tired of the move. They got tired of the wallpaper being messed up. They got tired of the carpet, stains on the carpet. Everywhere I look, when we first walked in this church, it was like you could eat a donut off the carpet. Nothing wrong with that. We got to take care of what God gives us. And don't get me wrong there, but I'm saying there's a lot of wear. When you got thousands of people trafficking in, how many knows you're going to have some wear? Why? Because God is moving. Somebody say, God is moving. He's moving. Oh, and you have yet to see how God is going to move. I want to be in His path, Josh, don't you? I want to be in His path. I want to be in the way of His steps when He moves. God is beginning to move. So, she said, husband, I want you to do something for me. We got to do this. I want us to build a room. I want us to build a room. It could be in the same house, Chris, because of the potential infidelity, because she wanted things to be right. She wanted things to be right. She wanted things to be honorable. So go up on the top of the roof. Give him the top seat. How many knows that Jesus has got to have the top seat? The word there is preeminence. Where's the throne? I need the throne. Oh, there's the throne. I need somebody to help me out here. I need somebody, one on each end, real quick, like already happened. Put it right down here in the front. We come and we say, Jesus, you have preeminence. But He don't. Because it's all devised and manipulated in the fingers and the hands of men. We call our services worship services, but they're not really about worship services. They're sort of platonic. They're sort of really, they're not really that. And I'm not being critical. I'm not trying to be critical about the way anybody worships. But how many knows before God can move, you've got to give Him preeminence. You've got to give Him the best seat in the house. You've got to give Him top honors. You've got to glorify Him. You've got to put Him on the throne of your heart. We'll go back to that just in a second. So they built Him a room. Let me tell you, that was expensive. How many in here has ever done remodeling before? Raise your hand. Keep your hand up there. Oh, why does if there anybody ought to know about remodeling? It ought to be about you guys. Brother Harless, there's two people you're supposed to see here today. One is Henry. Another is some wonderful people right over here. Come up here a minute. You're a contractor. I know that's not your natural trade, but you are a contractor. You build houses. In fact, you're building a house right now, right? But you know what? We're all building a house, too. We're all building a house. We're building a house not made with hands, not made by man, but we're building a temple, a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God, the habitation of God. We're dwelling a place where God can inhabit, He can dwell, where He can move mightily. But we're also in this ministry building a new sanctuary. That's not all the dream. If that was all the dream, it wouldn't go very far. But we got to have a bigger place because we got more kids. How many knows when you got more kids, you got to have more room? Amen. That's right, Dale. You should have shouted right there. How many knows that your kids can't sleep on top of each other all the time? You can't scrounge them in. You can't pile them up on top of each other like we used to do years ago in old school. You know, they used to just throw everything out on the floor and just tell the kids just pile them up there. But you can't do that anymore. Kids have got to have room. You've got to have room. You've got to have a space. You know, your kids got to have space. You've got to have space or you're going to pull your hair out. You've got to have room. You've got to have room. You've got to have the right kind of habitation for what is happening in your family. So Harris will tell you that building is expensive. Everybody say expensive. It costs something to build. It costs something to build. It's a lot of trouble. How many knows it's a lot of trouble? I heard a contractor, maybe you, Harless, tell me one time that he would rather build a house from the scratch, from the floor up, from the ground up, than to go in and work over somebody else's work. How many knows that everybody's not a skilled carpenter? I'd be one of them. I do know how to hammer. I do know how to use a hammer gun, a nail gun, a hammer gun. I do know how to use a measuring tape. Kathy, she promotes me. She says all kinds of awesome things about my skill, but you know, it's not about my skill, it's about motivating me to do a project that she needs to be done. But listen, it costs something to build. It's trouble to build. You got to understand. It's troublesome to build. It's inconvenient. It's inconvenient. The move of God is inconvenient, friend, because it's not about you. It's about what God is doing. And sometimes that's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us some time. How many knows if you're about a move of God, you've got to invest time in the move of God. You can't just go on with your own life and forget that Christ is your life. Amen. It's no longer I that lives, Paul said, but it's Christ that lives in us, the hope of glory. This isn't about you, it's about Him. It's inconvenient. Yes, prison ministry is inconvenient. You got to travel all the way over the mountain city. Whew, 2 hours away. Some people travel to India to preach the gospel. Some people travel to the darkest annals of Africa, the jungles of Africa, the Asia, and all Central America and South America to preach the gospel. That's inconvenient because you got to take that time. You got to be motivated to do that. It's inconvenient. It's inconvenient to go to prison ministry. One of the greatest mission fields we have, it's not in Central America. It's in a drug-inhabited community of Southwest Virginia and Southeast Kentucky and Northeast Tennessee. How many knows there's a mission field all around us? You want to be used of God? Put your combat boots on, friend. It might be inconvenient, but there's souls to be won. There's lives to be set free from the addiction of drugs. Wow. It's inconvenient. It's inconvenient to build. It's inconvenient because it'll cost you a little bit more. Oh, you got to start thinking about tithing. Oh, Lord, I thought you gave that money to me. How many knows it all belongs to God? You haven't learned that lesson yet? Wow, man. Whoa, it all belongs to the Lord. Everything you have belongs to the Lord. And all that you are belongs to God. Everything we have belongs to God. And all God asks us to do is just give back a little portion, because He knows the work has got to be done. The move of God has to continue on. And listen, finances is just as much a part of that as anything else. It's inconvenient to drive buses to pick up kids. That's inconvenient. Wow, that's just... I hear people all the time say, well, that's not my calling. That's not my ministry. Everything in the between these lids right here is your calling and your ministry right here. Well, listen, I know that we're all called specifically to do certain things in the kingdom of God. But if it's there in those pages, then we can do it. God's called us to do it. But it's inconvenient. It's inconvenient. It's inconvenient to leave my TV, leave my relaxation. It's inconvenient for me not to cut my vacation short because of a mission trip or work that needs to be done. It's inconvenient for me to say, well, I'm not going to do the whole vacation thing. I'm going to do half of it, and I'm going to devote the rest of my time to do ministry work, or to work on property, or work on the new site, or work on the new vision. I'm going to do those things. You see, we want everything that we want. And if there's anything left over, how many knows that God oftentimes gets the leftovers? God often gets what we don't want, what we have left over to give. Sometimes, all the time, the cross is about inconvenience, but building, and that's what she did. Thank you, Brother Harless. She built the prophet a room. And she put in that room, and we don't have much time, so this has got to be fast and furious. She put inside that room, God wants access into your room. Luke chapter 2, the Bible says that Jesus was being ready to be born of Mary, and they went to a little town called Bethlehem. And the Bible said they made their journey into Bethlehem. And she was ready to get down and have a child. She was ready to deliver. Some of you moms know about that. She's having labor pains, contractions, back pain, and all of it. And she was just brought along by her simple husband. And there they were trying to find a place for Jesus to be born. And they went to all over Bethlehem. And because it was crowded in the city, they went to this one inn. And the Bible said they could not find a place for Jesus to be born because there was no room in the inn. How many of you got to make room for a move of God? You got to make room out of your busy lives. You got to make room out of your busy schedules. You got to make room out of business of your agenda. You got to make room in your heart. You got to make room in your life. And listen, we ought to be inspired by our kids. I've told some of these kids and their parents lately. Those kids have inspired me. I get these I don't get Instagram, but I get these posts shared by Kathy, and she shares with me, and Will sends me pictures of these kids, their devotions and their thoughts and their word, and laying before the Lord, reading the Word of God in the worship. I see these things. It inspires me. It inspires me to see these kids, because they have opened their heart to a move of God. And God's moving in our kids. Come on, wake up, Mom and Dad. Wake up, Mama, Papa. Wake up, because God wants to move in your heart too. But there was no room in the inn. 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 But she built a room and put it on the top part of her house. She built walls inside these walls. This was a special pad for a special move of God. Oh, here the Lord was moving in this woman's family. You got to understand, she needed a miracle. She was barren, had no children, and her husband was getting ready to die. How many of those are there times in your life you need the Lord? How about all the time? I better say all the time. Because God's an all the time God. He's an all-time God. He just doesn't come to you every now and then. He's faithful. The Bible said He is faithful. God is faithful. Oh, we're awakened every morning by God's faithfulness. He wakes you up. Guess what? The faithfulness of God and the mercies of God have breathed upon you. We're reminded constantly by God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. So here, she put inside that room a canopy chair. I thank you, Jason and Becky and Betty. This is actually Betty's. Well, that's a cool chair, Betty. I tell you what, this ain't going to fall down when I sit in it. Wow, man, look at that. Wow. That's awesome. A canopy chair. A canopy chair, another translation for that chair was a throne. She gave Him the best chair in the house. How many knows that in our life, Jesus has to have the best chair in our house? He's got to have the throne. And let me tell you something. If Jesus is not on your throne, something else is. Yourself. How many knows that we put ourselves on the throne? Jesus is on the throne. Yourself is on the throne. Or some sin is on the throne of your heart. Because who has the throne of your heart will who be who you'll serve. Who you yield your life to is whom you'll serve. Whoever sits on the throne of your life is that's what your life is about. If it's work, if work is sitting on the throne of your heart, guess what? You're going to be a slave to work. And all you're going to do is bust your gut trying to make ends meet. When you come down to the end of it, you're going to be like Solomon. It's all vanity. Yes, your family needs food. Yes, you need clothing. Yes, you put clothes on those children back. Yes, you need transportation. God knows you have need of those things. Isn't that what the Word says? God knows you need those things before you even ask. Yes, we need those things. God is not some kind of ogre. He's not sitting up there and don't want you to enjoy this life. But He don't want those things in life to have you. He wants preeminent in your life. He wants to be in the center of your life. He doesn't want to play second fiddle. Where's Chris? He don't want to play second fiddle. Sal. He wants the throne of your heart. And this is what this woman said. You've got the canopy chair. You've got the best chair. You're going to have the throne room of my... You've got the best seat in the house. You've got one of the best rooms in the house. She put in there a cot. A cot is an important thing because it was when somebody asks you to stay, when somebody not just come in and have a cup of coffee, not just come in and have a cup of tea, but said, listen, man of God, I know that God moves in you. And listen, I need God to move in my life. And so I'm going to give you a bed. You can come here and you can sleep. You can stay anytime you want to. So that bed represents this thing. It represents intimacy. It represents intimacy with God because God wants a relationship with you. God just doesn't want you to know Him or know that there is a God. But God wants to know you intimately. He wants to know you in the night seasons, in the day season. God wants to lay down. When you lay down tonight, well, He wants you to lay His head on His chest. He wants you to converse with Him. So God is about those intimate times, those close times with Him. God wants to dwell with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to come down. Scoot over, Dakota. Scoot over, buddy. Don't hog the seat. He wants to sit down with you. He wants to put His arms around you. How many knows that God wants to do that? You mean God will do that? Yes, He will. How many knows that God will come down in the cool of the day? God will come down in your night season. God will come down when your heart is broken. God will come down when your life is falling apart. God will come down when nothing seems like it's working. God will come down when your life is disarrayed. God will come down in the midst of your storm. God will come down and sit with you. And listen, He'll cause your head to lay on His chest. And He'll say, it's going to be all right. You know why it's going to be all right? Because my presence is here in your midst. My presence is here in your midst. My presence is with you, Big. That's why it's going to be all right. That's why it's going to be all right. That's why it's going to be all right. Because the presence of the Lord is with you. And Sister Betty, the presence of the Lord is with you. Turn to somebody and say, the presence of the Lord is with me. I've had people who are daytime friends. They come and they'll hang out a few minutes, but you tell they don't want to hang out long. But then there are those friends that that'll stay with you. Stay through the night with you. Know that they can come and stay in the night with you. How many knows that a mom or mother may forsake her children? A dad may forsake his children. We may forsake our friendships. But how many knows that the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you? You see, God's in for the long haul. I say God's in for the long haul. God's in for the long haul. God's not going to quit you. He's not going to leave you out in the middle of in the stream, in the canoe without a paddle. He's going to be there paddling with you. He's going to be there helping you. When things get hard, Robbie, when things get hard, He's going to be there helping you. And you know that He's in the house and He's close to you because you've made Him a bed. You made Him a cot. Then you made Him a table. You give Him a table so, because that table represents fellowship. Represents a place where we can break bread. You know what the Lord is doing with us? You don't see it this way this morning, but it's as real as you are standing here. You know what we're doing with the Lord today? We're breaking bread. He's breaking bread with us today. We're sitting at His table. Wow. Wow, man. Get that down in your shoes. That'll give you elevation. Get that down in your socks. That'll elevate you. We're hanging out and eating bread with Yeshua. Eating bread. The table of showbread in the Old Testament. And the Holy of Holies was a special piece of furniture. Because there every day they had to provide fresh bread. The priests could eat that bread sometimes. But as a special offering to the Lord. It was called the table of showbread. Or the table of presence. You know what? When we make the Lord a special table, the presence of the Lord shows up. And He eats with us. Woo! He fellowships with us. We break bread with Him and He breaks bread with us. Oh, He is the bread. Amen. He is the bread that was broken for us. He is the bread. I said He is the bread. No matter what you're going through, you got to get a hold of this. He is the bread that was broken. And He said, take and eat of me. Never die. You'll never die. You'll never die. Never die. Oh, what was that rap song they were singing a while ago? Wow, how can you lose knowing that you've eaten the bread of life? You're eating and fellowshipping with the Lord, the King of Kings. You're eating at the table of presence. Wow, the table of presence. The presence of the Lord is here this morning. He didn't show up here to tickle your ear. He didn't show up here to entertain you today. He showed up here to grace you with His grace and His mercy. And today He said, come to me, all those that are burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's another thing you can do on the cot. You can rest with the Lord. What else can you do at the table of His presence? You can eat and dine with the Lord today because the Master's calling to the multitude, come and dine. You see, often Jesus, when He was in Bethany, went to a special home. Three family members, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Did you ever think about in the Scripture why He went there so often? Because they opened their house to Him. They made Him feel welcome. What did Jesus do in their lives was so significant? Well, you know what? Had they not opened their heart to the Lord, Jesus may have never had the opportunity they would have given Him to raise Lazarus from the dead. How many knows that you've got dead things in your family that need to be raised to life? Amen. Oh, you got to get your You've got to get your heart around that. And what you do right now is important. What you're doing right now, what your children are doing right now. Listen, if your children are in the presence of the Lord, you ought to be the most blessed person in the world. You ought to be shouting about three stories high. You ought to be lifting your hand. You ought to be praising God. You ought to be rejoicing. You don't need to be walking around with your head hung down like you lost your best friend. Jesus is your best friend. Wow. So, he came into Mary, Martha. Martha just didn't get it totally. She got all the serving part, but she just didn't get the intimate part. But when Jesus would come to her house, Martha, Mary, she found herself at the feet of Jesus listening to his word. These kids have been finding themselves at the feet of Jesus listening to his word, fellowshipping with him. Later down the road, they need a miracle because their brother Lazarus died. And they sent for him. Jesus took a little bit of time, but all for the glory of God. And he finally ended up there. And he said to the sisters, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I believe the promises of God are yes and amen. I believe they're as much today and real today as they were then. And I'm closing here. Of course, you had to have a light in that room. Because if you didn't have the light, it would be just a dark room. How many knows that Jesus is the light of our room? Oh, Lord, help people to get this right now. I said, help people to get this, Lord. Help people to get this. That the light of lights lives in your heart. Guess what light does? It swallows up the darkness. A believer who knows Jesus can walk into a dark room. Guess what? The climate, the atmosphere, oh, the geography of that room changes because suddenly there's light in the room. Somebody said, I'm not the light. Jesus is the light. Oh, Jesus said, because I am the light, you shall be the light. And this light of light lives in you. And you'll be that light to a dark world. Joshua, light to a dark world. Darkness is all around us. Isaiah said, 60 and 1, 2 and 3, he says, arise and shine, for your light has come. Your light has come. You can't hide a light, the light of Jesus, under a bushel. You got to let your light shine. You got to illuminate the darkness around you. You got to show a dark world that there's realness in Jesus. Some of the only Bible that people will ever read in this world is what's lived in your life. Do you realize that? Some people say, well, people won't believe the Bible today. They'll believe it if you'll love the sick. They'll believe it if you'll clothe the naked. They'll believe it if you feed the hungry. They'll believe it if you reach behind the walls and preach to the hopeless. They'll believe it if you let your light shine. They'll believe it if you let Jesus live in you. They'll believe it if you be his hands and feet. If you'll show love and mercy. If you'll reach out to those that are unlovable. They'll believe it if you'll just be Jesus. Just be Jesus. Somebody say, be Jesus. That's what you and I are privileged to do. We get to be Jesus. Oh, that's a big role to play. He's living in you. He's living in you. Wow. He's living in you. Out there at the back to school thing yesterday, you talked about a mission field. Whoa. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people come in. They were broken. They were hopeless. Many of them, you could see it on their faces. They walked by. People just be Jesus to them. Just love on them. And there were some ministries out there representing. Just love people. Pray with people. Some were out there just giving little crosses to people. But you give a cross to them and suddenly things lit up in their life. How many knows the presence of Jesus in the room will change the atmosphere of the room? So today, there's a loving God. There's a God who wants to move in your heart and move in your life. He wants to. And I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you three questions. Get a hold of this. Number one, have you made room for God? Have you done like this woman? Have you made room in your heart for God? Does He sit on the throne of your heart? Is He preeminent? Does He rule your life? Many people call Him Savior, but can we call Him Lord? How many knows there's a difference between Lord and Savior? You call Him Savior because He saved you from your sin. To call Him Lord, that means He's your King. You serve Him faithfully and loyally. He's the center piece of your heart and life. If you've not made Him, if you've not opened your heart and made room for God, today this is your opportunity to do that. This is your opportunity to invite Him in. This is your opportunity to embrace a move of God. This move isn't just about you, because it'll affect generations to come after you. There are people today that you'll influence, and people that you'll reach that no one else will reach. There are people that you'll reach out and touch that nobody else, that I can't reach out and touch. Because you've opened your heart. You've opened your room to Him. And number two, have you prepared a place for Him? Have you prepared a place for Him? Is He the light of your world? Have you got a bed for Him to rest? A place of intimacy and relationship? Have you gave Him the throne, the chair of your heart? Have you set a table for Him, for His presence, to dine and to eat the bread of His presence? The table of His presence, does He eat and fellowship with you daily? Then today, if you've not prepared a place, then prepare a place for Him. Begin today, open your heart and giving Him access to every part of your life. Not just what's convenient for you. Not what's convenient for you. Not what is convenient for you, but what's important. You've got to understand that Jesus is your life. He don't want to be a part of your life. He wants to be your life. There's a difference in being part of your life and being your life. How many knows that? If He's a part of your life, He'll be a part wherever you can fit Him in. And sometimes the hearts of people are so busy and crazy, it's hard for us to make a place for Him. And we'll scrounge Him in a corner somewhere. We'll go to church every now and then because we feel guilty if we don't. I don't come to church because if I don't, it makes me feel guilty. I come to church because I know there's something going to happen when I get here. And God loves me, and He meets with us when we come together here. I don't come because I have to. I come because I get to. Hallelujah. Where do you get to? It was inconvenient for you to be here today. You're wearing, you know that? And you're sitting there, tired. I saw you leaning over just a minute ago. But you said, I've got to go. You told us that last night. I'm going. How many knows you've got something going on when you know you didn't have to be here, but you get to, and you're privileged, and things happen when you do get here. Things happen today. Things are happening today. Oh, things are happening. You say things are not happening in my life, but have you given Him the room? Have you given Him? Have you made provisions for Him? Have you provided those things for Him? Maybe He's not moving in your heart because maybe you've not done that. Maybe you've not given him fully control. Does he sit on your throne? Let me ask that question. Does he sit on your throne? Is your lamp lit today? Is your lamp lit? Is your light shining? If it's not, it needs to be. Because he told the priesthood in the book of Leviticus, this lamp could never go out. It had to burn constantly. That menorah had to burn constantly because it represented the light of God to his people. You represent the light of God to this earth that's lost. Are you letting your light shine today? Are you letting your light shine? In your attitudes, your actions, your desires, your intent. And I have to pray that prayer. God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, acceptable to you all the time. Because you know what? Everybody's looking at your life. You say, that's unfair. Oh, that's what we're called to do, to be a light. We're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. I don't know anybody perfect. But perfect doesn't mean you can't be a light. That means when you mess up, you fess up. It's hard for people sometimes come to the altar because they say, well, I don't go to the altar. I don't want nobody to think I messed up. You did mess up. You mess up every day. Quit acting like you got it all together. You mess up every day. Your light of forgiveness and repentance may be the light that somebody else needs to see. Rick, I know you're tired. I know you don't feel like it, but I believe a good dance would do you good, brother. I said a good dance would do you good. A good dance would do you good. A good dance, a good shout do you good. Come on, come on, come on. What are you waiting on? You needed that. The Holy Ghost said you needed that. You need to dance about 3 miles too, brother. What are you sitting there for? Get up there. You need to dance. Come on, some of you all. Before the Lord with all my might. I tell you something, you got a move the world don't have. Did you hear me? I said you got a move the world don't have. You got a swag the world don't have. You know what his name is? J-E-S-U-S. You got a reason to dance. Jesus lives here. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Then I want you to do something right here. I ask a song, and please forgive me because I forgot what the lyrics mean. So if there's some kind of real something bad about it, just look over what I said. I'm just thinking of the song title, okay? Brother Sal, he gave me an old school rock group. The Rooftops? Rooftop Singers. Walk right in. Sit right down. Baby, let your hair hang down. How many's ever heard that song before? Oh, come on, some of you religious people in here right now, just get over it. But you know what the Lord's saying? Walk right in, sit right down, and baby, just let your hair down. Do like the woman did who worshipped Jesus and washed his feet with her hair. She let her hair down, and it was a spectacle. It was a shame in a lot of ways, but she did it because her heart was about worship. She wasn't worried about her critics. She just knew she wanted to lavish the Lord with everything in her. And I'm going to tell you, If we're going to really be about a move of God, you're going to have to get beyond some of this religious rhetoric. Religious bondage. You're going to have to get beyond that. You know what? This woman needed a miracle now more than anything else. Because after she already did that, think about this. We're closing. Listen. Think about this. Her son that God blessed her with, God finally gave her a son and told the prophet to tell her she's going to have a child. Long story short, she had a son. Years later, she had this son. God blessed her. How many knows it's wonderful to be blessed by God? But how many knows when God goes to blessing, the devil goes to messing? When God's blessing your life, the enemy's going to let you know right away. He's going to let you know about that. And he's going to try to steal the joy of that blessing away from you. Your life. He wants to steal the joy of your life. There's some of you I'm looking at right now. You need that joy. You need to tap into that river of joy. You need that river of joy flowing and moving in your heart and your life. So her son died. The son God gave it to. Suddenly she said God took her son. Wow, what is she going to do now? She was heartbroken. She was heartbroken. But God's man, Elisha, saw her need and saw how heartbroken she was. And he sent his servant to tell her it's going to be okay. Where is he? He died in her arms. What a sad thing that was. But you know what the servant of God did? They took the boy that died and laid him right back upon the bed that she built for the man of God. Man, I've grown from the power and the presence of the Lord down through the years. Not because I'm something special, just because of what God wanted my life to be about. Because I know that worshiping and praising God and time with God and in His Word and seeking His face, all those things are powerful. This is not new to me. Oh, listen, friend. This is what our lives got to be about. This is what our lives got to be about. So the very room that she built to praise the man of God, praise the mover, to receive the move of God, is where she finally needed the move of God. So God moved. And the man of God came and laid upon that son and breathed life back into him. And he sneezed 7 times and he came back to life. How many knows that story? In 1 Kings chapter 8, she lost all of her land and all of her provision. She ran out of everything and had to go to a foreign country to live. What am I going to do? And the man of God said, just because you have done this thing for the Lord, He's going to give back to you. He's going to restore your life. And they say, restore. Cindy, He's restoring your life. Turn around to somebody and say, He's restoring my life. He's restoring your life, John. He's restoring your life. He's restoring your life. He's putting your life back together. You know why He's going to do that? Because you prepared a room for Him. Chris, He's putting your life back together, brother. Turn to somebody and say, He's putting my life back together. Where'd you go just now? Oh. So today, real quickly, God said, will you come? Open your heart. Open your room up. Let Him in. And if He already lives there, then you give Him every part of your life. Don't give Him inside the mud room. Here, Lord, you can go to every room in my house. Here. Not only can you go to every room, but here's a room that I made for you right here, just special for you. So today, open your heart to Him. I'm going to ask you today to leave your seat. If you need to open your heart, you need a miracle in your life, it starts with what you do with God today. It starts with what you do with God today. Betty, you devoted your life to God. You built a room for Him. Worship has been a part. The Word of God has been a part of you. You stood up and you preached. And by the way, she's going to preach the Word of God very soon here. She's going to declare the Word of God to us. You know, if it's a 5-minute sermon or 10-minute sermon, you know why? God's going to move into life because you built a room for Him. A place for Him to have it. So you need a miracle. How many needs a miracle in this room today? How many? Be real. Be real. Come on. Be real. Man, if I needed something, I wouldn't be holding my hand in my pocket. If I needed something from the Lord, I'd be lifting my hand. I'd be lifting both hands. I'd be lifting both feet. I'd be lifting, listen, my fingers and toes. God, I need You to move in my life. My children are dying, Lord. Oh, my family's on drugs. Lord, I got things messed up in my life. And right now, You need to come. You need to come right now. Open your room to Him right now and let Him come in. 1, 2, 3. If that's you, come right now. 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 Nobody should have to beg you. Nobody should have to push you. Nobody should have to make you come. You need a miracle from the Lord. Come right now. You need a miracle from the Lord right now. Come right now. Come right now. Be bold. Be brave. Come on, be honest today. Be honest. Lord, I need a miracle. I need a breakthrough in my life. I need You to move in my heart, in my life. Lord, I need You more than I've ever needed anyone in my life. I need You, Lord, right now. Lord, I'm not going to use You as a spare tire. Lord, I need You. I need Your friendship. I need Your fellowship. I need Your mercy. I need Your grace. If that's You, come. Are people being honest right now at this altar? Are you being honest? I'd like for everybody to bow their head for just a second. If you're here today, God has spoken to your heart in any way, shape, form, or fashion. God has spoken to you. Maybe it wasn't your favorite message. But you see, I'm not Netflix. So I'm not here for you to punch and choose out your favorite sermon. I'm here to give what God has meant for you to have here today, the best of my ability. I may have messed up, but I'm trying to do the best of my ability today. So if you're here today and you need God to move in your life, and you'll be real honest with me and be honest with the Lord. Pastor R, I'm going to be real honest. I need a miracle, and there are people in my family need miracles. And I'm going to be honest. Lift your hand up with mine right now. Just keep it up in the air. Just keep it up in the air. Be real honest. Real honest. Real honest. Real honest. Real honest. Thank you. I believe that people are being honest all over this room here today. I need a miracle. I need God to move. 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 I want us right now, as if our life depended on it. As if our life depended on it. Desperate people do desperate things. If you're desperate for a move of God in your life, I want you to raise your hand, to leave your seat right now, and just come and gather around right now, and we're going to close out in prayer. I want us to come right now. Those that raised your hand, come right now. Come right now. You need a miracle from God. You need a miracle in your family. You need a miracle in your life. You need a miracle. You're desperate. Desperate. Lord, I'm desperate. I need You. I pray for this cousin today, that You save her, Lord, and that You touch her today, that the goodness of God will reach into her heart and her mind.